the lesson or the study that we engaged in this morning from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. We were talking about lessons from Nathan's rebuke. We're reminded of this story of David, who had sinned in the sight of God. And God sent Nathan the prophet to him to rebuke him or to point out the error in his life. You know, it's a wonderful thing when people come to the realization that they have sinned. Because as I said in my lesson this morning, until a person recognizes or realizes that he or she has sinned, they'll never make a change. We got to come to the point of knowing that what we're doing is wrong. And so once we come to that point, we ought to be like David, who will acknowledge our transgressions. Lessons from Nathan's rebuke. Let me just briefly name the three lessons that we learned, or that we talked about this morning, that we learned from Nathan's rebuke. And you know, this is another wonderful thing about God, too, is that he provides for us the tools that we need to please him. I believe this story was recorded in the Bible so that people could go to it and read it and know that they could get right with God. And so I'm thankful this evening that God gives us the tools to do what we need to do to please him. When Nathan confronted David with his sin, he told him this story. And I'll not relate the story, but again, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Nathan could see the awfulness that had been committed by this man in the story that Nathan shared with him. And he said, this man ought to be killed. Nathan said, you're the man. And so the first lesson that we learned and that we talked about this morning is that often we are blinded by our own faults and our own failures because we always want to look at somebody else rather than looking at ourselves. So it would behoove all of us then to look at ourselves. We also talked about the fact that Nathan helped David, if I can put it that way, to come to repentance by appealing to David out of the love of God, by telling Nathan about how good telling David, I should say, about how good God had been to him. And in essence, what he was saying was that God has done all of this for you, and then you're going to treat him like that? You know, it's sort of like, you know, the parents would say to the child, out of all that the parent has done for the child, and rearing them, and providing for them, and protecting them, and doing all of these things for them, and then they turn around and rebel and turn their nose up in their parents' face. And we would say, you would say, they would say, you mean you're going to treat me like that? This is what Nathan was appealing to David. Look at all that God has done for you, and you're going to turn around and sin against him? And so when he used that approach, Nathan was able now to see himself. And he says, yeah, I've sinned against God. This God that you're talking about that has done all of this for me, I have sinned against him. And so Nathan helped David to come to repentance by appealing to him of the love of God in his life. And I said that that's how we should deal with one another. That we need to appeal to one another out of the love of God. And then David recognized that. He dealt with the sin problem in his life properly. And that's the third lesson that we talked about, the proper way, or the proper attitude we should have to repentance. David made it personal. He said, I have sinned. Nobody didn't make me do it. Nobody didn't force me to do it. Nobody didn't encourage me to do it. But I have sinned. So he made it personal. He didn't look for an excuse. That's the same thing we ought to do tonight. We need to deal with it on a personal level. And in dealing with it on a personal level, we also talk about the fact that he saw the true nature of his sin. That yes, he sinned against Uriah by killing him and taking his wife, and even sinned against Bathsheba. But ultimately, the sin was against God. He says, not only I have sinned, but he says, I have sinned against God. And until we recognize the fact that when we sin, we have sinned against God, we just may not and probably won't repent. Not truly. Because as long as somebody don't catch us, somebody don't see us, somebody don't know about it, it probably won't prompt us to repent. But when we realize that God, who sits in heaven and who looks low and who sees and knows everything, and when we know that he knows us, then we are brought to say, I've sinned against God. As we continue on then in these scriptures tonight, there's another lesson, a couple of more lessons I want to share with you that we learned from Nathan's rebuke. In verse number 13 again of chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, this is what is found. The Bible says, and David said unto Nathan, again, as we've said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So what do we see in this? We see that David repented, and it was true repentance. Otherwise, God never would have forgiven him. Only true repentance brings forgiveness from God. So when David truly repented, then Nathan was able to say, by the inspiration of God, of course, that the Lord also, because you have repented, truly you have repented, the Lord has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So what do we see? What lesson do we learn from that? We learn about the nature of God's forgiveness, or the nature of God's pardon that he provides for people when they repent. What's the nature of it? The nature is forgiveness, yes, but more than that, the nature of God's forgiveness is that it is immediate. No probationary status. Not I'm going to see how you do, and if you do pretty good, then I'll put it away. Probation means that basically we're on trial. You know, you start some of the jobs that you start on. They give you a 90-day probationary period. And what they're actually doing is putting you on trial. We don't think of it that way, but that's exactly what it is. And if you pass the test, so to speak, if you come through the trial all right, then they'll put you on as a permanent employee after those 90 days or whatever the days may be. God never puts anybody on trial when he forgives them. He puts their sin, he cleanses their sins immediately. And not only is it an immediate cleansing, but it's a complete cleansing. None of that sin, none of that fault, none of that failure remains in God's eye. He wipes it away immediately and completely. Isn't that wonderful? That we serve a God that erases our sins immediately and completely. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." What is unrighteousness? Sin. That's what sin is. It's unrighteousness. So he says, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." So when Nathan said to David that the Lord also has put away thy sins, he was saying the Lord will remember your sins no more. Now, of course, we know that the Lord knows all things. And the Lord doesn't forget anything. He's not capable of forgetting anything. But the meaning is that God is saying, "I will not hold these sins against you anymore. I'm going to wipe them out. It's going to be immediate. It's going to be completely. And I will never bring them up again." We get in trouble sometimes. We say we forgive somebody, but then just let something else happen. "Yeah, I remember what they did to me." What are we holding it against them? But God is not like that. God says, "I will remember them no more. I'll never bring it up against them. I'll never lay it to their charge anymore." I'm thankful that God is an immediate and a completely forgiving God. He doesn't put me on probation. He doesn't test me to see how I'll do. But he cleanses me. He washes my sins away. He blots them out. As Peter said to those people in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, he says, "Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness." Repent. "And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, washed away, cleansed." Again, immediately and completely. Of course, we know again that the conditions have to be met. And the condition is repentance. For the one who is not a Christian must meet that condition. Again, as the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So one who is not a child of God, one who is not a Christian, one who is not a follower of Christ has to meet the conditions in order for his sins or her sins to be blotted out. What are the conditions? The conditions are that they must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And because again, Jesus says in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." That's one of the conditions to get one's sins, who is not in Christ, to be blotted out. Not only that, but to make that good confession that I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8 and verse 37. Not only that, but he must repent, of course, as we've already said, of his sins, and be baptized in water, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And when he does that, the Lord washes, cleanses his sins or her sins immediately and completely. And he adds them to the church. For one who is a Christian, they must repent, yes, and make that confession that I have sinned. And this is the confession that David made in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he says, "I have sinned. I've sinned." Psalm 32, he says, I acknowledged my transgression. And that's what confession of sin is all about. It's acknowledging one's transgression, acknowledging one's unrighteousness, acknowledging one's shortcoming. And so he says, I acknowledged it. When I did that, the Lord forgave me. Acts 8 and verse 22, when Simon got in trouble, when sin came into his life, you know, he saw them laying hands, the apostle laying hands on the people, and they were receiving the Holy Ghost, and he coming out of a background of sorcery. Those old evil thoughts start running around in his head again, and he says, I'll give you money. Let me buy of this. And Peter says, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And so he says, repent. Repent, therefore, he says, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Simon was a child of God then. So for the child of God, when he errs along the way, doesn't have to go back and be baptized again, but he certainly has to repent. Truly repent, just like David did. And when one truly repents, then God will forgive them of their sins. And as he says, he will remember their sins no more. That forgiveness is only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7 says, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Thank God for his complete and his immediate forgiveness. What a great lesson we can learn from Nathan's rebuke, that God will wipe my slate clean and he won't bring it up anymore. Thank God for being that kind of God. But then there's another lesson, and the last lesson that we'll talk about tonight from these verses. Go back again to verse number 10 and notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And he goes on and he says, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. And then if you drop on down to verse number 14, notice what he says. He says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now notice what he says. You've given occasion for the enemies of the Lord. Who are the enemies of the Lord? Folks that don't do the will of God. And specifically, people who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have given them license to speak against God Almighty because of what you've done. That's why we have to be so careful, brothers and sisters, as to how we live. Because the communities where we came from, the places where we work, the places where we shop, the places where we go, where people know us, and if they don't particularly know us, if they know about us that we are members of the body of Christ or that we are Christians, they will say some bad things, not only about us, but about the Lord. That must not be much of a God that you serve and you living and acting like that. Let us never do things that will cause people to speak against the Lord, that will bring shame and reproach on the name of Christ, and not only on the name of Christ, but bring shame and reproach upon the church. Live in such a way where folks says, I don't want to darken the doors of Northwest, because all they got over there are sinful people. Let us never live like that. So the Lord said to David through Nathan, you caused the enemies of the Lord, because of what you've done, to blaspheme the Lord. But that's not the lesson that we learned. That's a sub-lesson. But the main lesson that we want to learn from the passages that we've just shared and reading tonight is that consequences of sin often will follow in spite of the fact that we've been forgiven. Yes, David, I forgive you. I will not remember your sins anymore. I'll blot them out. I have blotted them out. You will not die. But you're going to have to suffer the consequences of it. Sin, brothers and sisters, has consequences. And look at what he says that would happen to him because of what he did. Number one, the last verse that we just read, he says, the child that was born, he's going to die. All because of your sin. The child hadn't done anything wrong. Bathsheba gave birth to the child. But because of David's sin, the child was going to die. Not only did he say the child was going to die, but he says, what else? That I'm going to. The sword, he says, shall never depart from your house. In other words, there's going to be some death that's going to take place in your house, in your family members. What happened? David's daughter, Tamar, was raped by her brother, her half-brother, Amnon. And because of that, Absalom killed him. That's the sword going through his family. All because of his sin. But remember, he's been forgiven. But the consequences are still there. You can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 13, the first four verses. And also chapter 13, verses 20 through 29, what I've just mentioned. He also said that I'm going to take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. Do you not know his own son lay with one of his wives? Isn't that amazing? Absalom laid or had sexual relations with one of his wives, or his concubines, we should say. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 20 through 22 points that out. Absalom led a conspiracy to take over the kingdom from his father David. What is happening? All this evil is rising up in David's house, in his family. His own son led a conspiracy, as I've said, to take over the kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 15 talks about that. And not only that, but his only son was killed. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 9 through 15 points that out. Can't you see the sword just going throughout that? Can't you see evil just going throughout his family? All because of his sin. That's the consequence of his sin. And so you might say, ain't hurting nobody but me. Not necessarily. Sin can spread, or the results, I should say, of sin can spread through other people. And this is what happened in David's house. The same thing can happen to us today. An alcoholic may quit drinking, great, but he still may have to suffer the consequences of his sin. We've heard of cirrhosis of the liver, the drug addict may quit drugging, but we've heard and we've read through justified, not the word justified, but through reliable sources that have determined that brain damage can occur. That's the results, even though a person may have turned from those things. Young people and older people, while we may be forgiven, we still may have to reap what we've sown. Just like David saw Bathsheba, an unexpected pregnancy occurred. And so people today can be affected by those kind of things, even though they have repented. An unscriptural divorce. People may repent of that, but they still may be affected by that. How can that affect one? You're never free to marry again in God's sight. You have to live with that. I'm saying that sin, even though it's repented of, still has consequences. We've heard the statement, I'm sure, that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than what you want to pay. I'm sure David didn't want to pay what it cost him. I'm sure he didn't welcome all of that confusion and all of that stuff, evil stuff that was going on in his family. I'm sure he didn't want that to happen. But God said it's going to happen. Even though, David, I forgave you. So the lesson then, again, that we want to learn from this is that sin, even though it may be repented of, many times it has dire consequences that we suffer because of it. Thank God for these lessons that we can learn from Nathan's rebuke. If we haven't got caught up in any of them yet, hopefully it will help us not to get caught up in them. But even if we have, if we've truly repented, hopefully we'll be encouraged to stay on the straight and narrow by living and doing what God teaches us to do so that God will not condemn us to hell, or we will not condemn our own souls to hell. Let's live a good life when we repent of our sins. And while, again, we won't be able to get through life without sinning, because the Bible has declared that in 1 John chapter 1. But thank God, in 1 John chapter 2, the Spirit said this to John: these little things, my children, I write unto you, that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Thank God tonight for Jesus, who can cleanse us from our sins And who will keep on, his blood will keep on cleansing us from our sins as long as we do what? Walk in the light as he's in the light. As 1 John chapter 1 teaches us. May these lessons then that we learn from Nathan's rebuke help us to be what God wants us to be. And again, let us never think that it can't happen to us. Because it can. And oftentimes it does. If you're here then this evening, you're subject to the call of the gospel. I've already shared with you what you must do if you're not a child of God. To become a child of God, you've got to go through those steps. Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. The Lord will add you to his church. You're already a child of God, a member of the body, but you find yourself allowing sin to overtake you. I want to encourage you to turn away from it. And let the Lord cleanse you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says that I'll take your sins and I'll cast them as far away from me as the east is from the west. And I won't remember them no more. Thank God for being a God like if you need to come to the Lord tonight, I want to encourage you to come. Do it right now while we stand, while we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is called.